But praise the Lord for Noah, who is in our Christian school. Eli knew you could play, but Noah playing good too. What a great thing. Thank God for Miss Perna, who teaches and comes out here as part of our school, Kim Perna, to do that. Also, pray for something that I've had on my heart. Actually, Dennis is here tonight. You gave me the idea, Dennis, because you mentioned Lane Jones and that basketball team, and it sparked me to want to get a basketball team going on with maybe some homeschool and our Christian school kids. So I did get in touch with Lane Jones, and it was good to hear him. My daughter Mindy's here tonight. She knows Lane Jones very well. She went to that school. And I was talking to Mindy about it to get his number and so forth. And she said to me, you know, you need to be able to use that gym up there and rent a gym if we had a basketball team. And so I was going to get a hold of somebody to contact about the gym. And she said that the guy that is over that is a guy named Adam Kislowski. And I remember Adam Kislowski very well. Mindy went to school with him, and he's mad at her because he wants to get together more. but he was a great basketball player, great basketball guy. And he's kind of over that gym, so he's the guy I got to contact, Mindy's old schoolmate, Adam Kislowski. Remember him very well as a kid at Pocono. So pray about that. That vision, and Lane Jones mentioned a summer camp for boys if we get a team going. So Brother Steve Manning mentioned he was a coach, and Brother Steve Gary mentioned he would be interested to help coach. So we just ask for prayer about that. All right, we have been looking at Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we can pray for one thing, amen. We've been praying, and then we can build on solid foundations, which we need the Word of God, and we need Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we can build on that foundation, lives on solid foundation. And we are on part 5 of this sermon, and this is the 17th sermon on building lives on solid foundations. And part 5 on one verse, we parked on this verse, and we're going to go back to it tonight. And please take your Bible, go to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. I'll read the verse again. And it is a whole series of verses that we've been looking at in Ephesians 5 and 6 on building lives and building marriages and now building families. And it says in Ephesians 6 verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, before I go any further, I want to just review one thing, and that is the key to this whole section on building lives, building marriages, building homes, building children. All of this in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 is built upon one key verse. And one of the men shouted out, what is that verse, Jose?
Ephesians
5 and verse 18. Let me read it again. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And I was just talking to somebody tonight about, does a person have the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. The ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that touches everything. Because if you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit in the husband's wife, in the wife's life, in the child's life, you're not going to have a Christian home. And we need to have that influence of the Holy Spirit. As we've said, if a person is under the influence of alcohol, if they're under the influence of wine,
That is not a good thing. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. In other words, if I was drunk with wine, I would do stupid things like fall off the pulpit and break my ankle maybe as I'm preaching, right? That would be excessive behavior, and it would cause excessive problems. And so I don't want to be under the influence of alcohol, but I do positively want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in living my Christian life. And so it is a relationship, a personal relationship to the Holy Spirit that enables you to do these things. And without that Holy Spirit filling and control of your life, you cannot really live the Christian life. And so that is something that we should seek. By the way, speaking of wine, the Bible says, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your oft infirmities. And I've been thinking about that, and it's interesting. My wife has this terrible throwing up. All last night she was throwing up. It was horrible. And my daughter, Brooke, heard about it, and she said, get 100% pure grape juice. So I gave my daughter some money, went out. What did it cost you? About $9 for a bottle of grape juice? So $9 for a bottle of unfermented wine. And I believe that's the kind of wine we need, amen? The unfermented wine. But she said, you take about a tablespoon every hour, and it will help your gut. And sure enough, I believe that works. And it's biblical. And then that was my daughter Brooke. My daughter Amy chimed in and said, yeah, that's what my husband does. He takes unfermented grape juice every little bit, and he keeps taking it whenever there's these gastrointestinal problems, and he does very well with that. And I thought, wow, that's a prescription right in the Bible. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Not talking about alcohol, talking about unfermented grape wine right out of it's delicious, and take a little of it. Don't take too much, or you get fat. But take a tablespoon, and she's about a tablespoon every hour when you're going through these things. So anyway, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to live the Christian life. And also we need another Holy Spirit filling to witness and to preach. And that's the filling that we get through prayer and calling out to God for the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that kind of filling and fullness as well. But this is talking about the filling that's continuous, that you need to keep going back and yielding to the Holy Spirit. As I said, Jack Hiles 7 times a day would say, I am alive from the dead in Christ. I recognize I'm on resurrection ground, Lord, but I yield my mortal body to you to work through me, to do what Jesus would, were he in my shoes today, to say what he would say, to think what he would think, and to be the kind of person he would be. And that is the key to what we are talking about here. Now we're going to go back to Ephesians 6:4, and we have been preaching on wanted parents that will raise your children God's way. Parents that will raise your children God's way. And we said, number one, that, and we've been preaching on this, it means that parents are a united team. Remember, we said in Ephesians 6, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children. Now, I'm saying it's a united team. Well, why does it say fathers then if we're supposed to be a united team? There are different reasons for that, but can anybody give me a reason? Sarge, what's one reason?
The father is the head of the home.
Yeah, the father is the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And so going from that, he then becomes the head of the entire home. He has the last word. He has the responsibility. So the mother's with the kids a lot longer, especially when they're younger. But the father is the one that is responsible. So he doesn't do it all, but he's the one held accountable. And what do a lot of men do? They don't want to take leadership responsibility. They don't want to take leadership responsibility. And there are homes where things are kept from the husband, where the woman won't tell the husband, or the kids don't want the husband. No, that is not the man being the head. If you keep secrets from somebody that's over it all, that's not good. I know as the pastor, I'm the spiritual program director of the church. And you know what I found out? God tells me things that are going on. He makes sure I find out about things that are going on. Because I'm not called to be a dictator, but I'm called to see nobody else is. And so God lets me know what's going on. And he gives wisdom to you when you become the spiritual program guy. And men need to step up and take their part. They don't need to be afraid to do that. Or they don't need to be so lazy that all they know is all about the football scores and all about the Super Bowl and who's going to win and all of that. That's all they know. They know all about what's going on in sports, but they don't know sic'em about what's going on in the family. And that is no good at all. It's just being lazy. And so God says, ye fathers, because men tend to be lazy, and God wants men to be involved in the home. And we said another thing. You shouldn't be raising children without fathers. You shouldn't be raising children without fathers. But who's the dad of so many kids in the United States? Oh, his name is Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam. And if you've been finding out under Donald Trump, what's going on with old Uncle Sam? He's full of fraud. He's full of waste. He's full of abuse. We're almost up to $1 trillion now. $1 trillion. Hey, that's going to add up to, like Ronald Reagan said, some money after a while. That is a lot of money. And so Uncle Sam, you see, has made it beneficial not to get married. And we will pay you not to be married, and we will give you money if you raise. I know a girl used to come to our church, and she said, my mother just keeps popping out children because she gets more money, and she just wants more children. She was just opening up to me and telling me that very thing. And unfortunately, she went the way of her mother and didn't go the way of the opportunity that she had. I want to tell you, forget Uncle Sam. You get back to King Jesus. And get back to the Word of God and decide you're going to build your home. I remember this guy here. It was a bus kid. He got saved out of a bus family. And his wife was a bus kid. And they decided to build their marriage, their home on the Word of God. And I remember he was living in a project and on welfare. And he said, I'm not going to stay here, Pastor. I'm not going to go live off Uncle Sam. That's not going to be my main donor. I am going to get in the Word of God, and we're going to have a family that's going to do it God's way. And that's what we need. They've done studies and proven that homes that are two-parent homes and that have the parents are married. This is so important. They're married. When they're married, economically, they have much more money in a lifetime. Even financially, it's proven that two people together that are not married, the whole thing does not thrive financially. Why? It's not a solid foundation. And so we've got too many preachers that are afraid to talk about solid foundations. And they're afraid to deal with things at home. And you know, it says, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is child training with what? One of the men tell me, what's nurture? Child training with what? What's the last word? Yep.
Love.
Well, yeah, it's always with love, but the fruit of the Spirit. But child training with teeth. Thank you. Teeth. Child training with teeth. And what that means is there has to be consequences for disobedience. And you know what? Churches don't have any consequences. If a man cheats on his wife or a wife cheats on her husband, and there's no consequence. There's no church discipline. There should be. God's Word talks about it. And there needs to be discipline in the home. discipline in the school, discipline in the church. And the purpose is not to hurt somebody. The purpose, though, is that people take seriously what is preached from the pulpit. I'm just dealing with something right now along these lines, and I have to deal with it. And I'm dealing with it, and I will deal with it. And people know that at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, a man of God is not just standing up in the pulpit. He's not just batting his gums. They're teeth. And the teeth are God's teeth in the Word of God. And we need to take seriously and not just play church. And so it's unified. Parents are a unified team, and we've been talking about that. Now, the husband, this is letter D in the outline, under number one, that it means that parents are a unified team. Husband and the father's leadership in bringing up children. And it says there of fathers, bring them up. Bring them up. Think of those words. Bring them up. The active voice means that it's not automatic. You must be proactive in bringing them up a certain way. So you as a parent, you need to have a goal for your children and bring them to that goal. And your goal is that they become functional adults. Right. They become functional adults. And that takes time. You're not going to have a two-month-old and give him a lunchbox and say, now, son, go out to work. That's not going to work. It takes time to bring them up. But then again, when you have a 40-year-old that's living in your basement, a 40-year-old that's still in your house, and still depend, then that's a little bit too long. That's a little bit too long. Bring them up, and it's time to leave and to cleave, and to have your own home, and be a functional adult. And yet, it's so sad that and I've seen this, and this is not the way you want it to be. Grandparents raising grandchildren. You know what that is? Grandparents raising grandchildren, that's a failure to bring them up. The children. My children knew that I wanted an empty nest syndrome. And that meant that you need to be ready to do your part. And we want you to be ready. And thank God I didn't raise kids that can't be functional. They can't be functional adults. And thank God. And so fathers, I need to take responsibility to be proactive, to bring them along and to bring them up. And by the way, a Jewish father, he had three goals in mind for his sons. Does anybody know the three goals a Jewish father had in mind for his sons? I'll tell you. One was for his son to know the Torah, to know the Bible. He thought that was serious. Number two, he wanted his son to have a trade, to have something he could do that he could take care of a family. He would have a trade that would be marketable, a marketable trade. Now, if the father didn't necessarily teach his son the trade, because his son might have different talents or gifts than the father, but he made sure that that son learned a trade. So he taught him the Torah, the Word of God. He taught him a trade. One more thing that the father wanted to help his son with, and do you know what that was, the Jewish father? Brother Z.
Probably to get a good wife.
Yeah, to get a good wife. To get the right kind of wife. And let me tell you, you need guidance and you need counsel when it comes to that. Don't be in a hurry to jump in to this woman and say, oh boy, she's my wife, I'm going to get engaged to her. No, no, no. Even the Bible says, before you ordain a deacon, let him first be what?
Tested.
Then let him serve. And a woman needs to be tested based on the things that we've been preaching on and talking about from the Word of God. So bring them up to come to that kind of maturity. That is the active voice. That is the active voice. Now, in doing that, you must not let a young child make all of his own choices. As he gets older and shows maturity, he can make more and more choices. But the Bible says, Proverbs 22:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth shame. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drive it far from him. In other words, you need to have a training with teeth. Now, we had that kind of training in our home. We had spankings, we had rewards, we had punishments, we had training with teeth. And my children, my oldest daughter, and I've shared this before, she would go out to a supermarket and the kids would act up because they're in a public place. Now, what's going to happen to me in a public place? You know, is mom going to... And so they're acting up a little bit more in a public place. You ever been on an airplane or been in a mall or something and the kid is just screaming and acting up? How many of you have ever seen that? Yeah, a lot of you. And it's shameful. It's shameful behavior. And a kid will do that. And what's mom going to do? You know, what's going to happen? And so, you know, these kids will act up. And my daughter, she said when she went out and one of her kids were acting up like that, she'd give them a warning. Now, don't do that anymore or you're going to be disciplined. Well, what are you going to do? We're in a public place, you know. Ah, you know, acting up. And she would take out a marker and mark their hand. And that marker meant when you get home, you are marked for discipline. I'm just saying the Bible says this. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I heard a mother say in my hearing that she knew that somebody would discipline her child and her child acted better around that person, knowing that she would be subject to discipline. And the mother wouldn't do it. And so the child had no control. You need to realize that parents need to not let children just run all over them. So bring up, it's active, it's something a parent needs to do. And then nextly, it says, bring them up. And that is imperative. That is a command. And it's not like you turn to a friend and say, hey, I have some advice here. Would you give me some advice? I need some advice. And then the friend gives it to you and you say, no, I can take it or leave it. No, bring them up is something definite, that it's not just friendly advice. It's not just a suggestion. It is a command. And this is to the parent. In other words, the parent, you are held accountable by God to bring that child up. Now, who owns the child? Jose? God owns the child. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What does that mean? The word heritage, you may have heard this before, and it is true, the word heritage is homework assignment. Children are a homework assignment of the Lord. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, man, God's given me a homework assignment. Boy, that's a tough one. God, when he gives you children, he's giving you a homework assignment to do for him. They're his children. You say, but they're my children. They came out between my feet, a mother may say. No, they're God's. He gave you the ability to procreate and the privilege to procreate so you could be more vested, perhaps. But the children are God's, and you're going to be held accountable for how you bring them up, you parents and you fathers ultimately. And so it is serious business. It is a command, not something you can just, well, I'll do it or I'll not do it. No. And then it says in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up. Not only is it active, not only is it imperative or a command, but listen, bring them up is in the present tense. It is something that is continually to be done at all times. You are not to just say, well, I am not. You need something? Usually out the back door, but okay, go ahead. But bring them up is something that is continuously to be done, and you're always accountable to do that. You can't just say, well, I am on vacation, so I am not responsible now to be training my children. In other words, that is a lot of work to do. If you do it well when they're younger, then when you get older, they can have more freedom and more opportunity to make decisions, and you'll be a lot more peaceful as a parent if you do it younger. And so bring them up is something that is in the present. It's something that is constantly with you until they're brought up and until they're out of the home. And so the husband must work with his wife to marshal any and every tool to help those children reach the God-given goals for bringing them up God's way. And, of course, as I have said before, that children, when they're in the womb, are tied by an umbilical cord to their mother. As soon as they're born, the umbilical cord is cut. But then they're nursed by the mother, and they spend a lot of time with the mother, but then they're weaned from nursing with the mother, and more time they're apart from the parent. And the key to have a good home and training for children is when you're not with your children, you know they're getting something positive for their life. I think of a lady I led to the Lord in a laundromat here. And her son was there, and I led her son to the Lord. And she's been coming to church. She came to Chili Bowl. She's been coming each week. And her name is Gabby, and her son is Trevor. And I was talking to Trevor, and I guess they came bringing chili into the church. They needed some help and getting the chili in from outside, and she went to get help and so forth. But she's a single mother seeking to bring her children. And she was saying how Trevor likes coming to Sunday school and how he benefits. I guess this Brother Steve, you teach the Sunday school class for her son, and how he benefits from it. I'm sure he does. I'm sure it's great for him to have a male teacher if he's in a single parent home and getting good teaching. And so the key is when you're apart from your children that they are getting something as good as or better than you could give them in the home to strengthen and reinforce the goals, spiritual goals, and every other goal that you may have for your children. Bring them up. And you want to use the different tools that are available. I would not want to bring up children and not be part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local New Testament church. You know, Christ said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Just like I wouldn't want to bring up children and not be married. You know, two people together trying to bring up children is about as biblical as having a concubine. That is not God's way. God wants you to be married. Married. And the same thing with the church. We've got people going into church, going out of church, floating around. I had a deacon, one of our early deacons in this church, and I used to call him a spiritual butterfly. Because he would, or a bumblebee. What does a bumblebee go? Goes from plant to plant and pollinates that plant. And he'd go, oh, I'm led of the Spirit to go to this church this Sunday. And then I'm led of the Spirit to go to this church this Sunday. And I'm led of the Spirit to go to that church this Sunday. Well, I try that with my wife. Honey, I'm led of the Spirit to go to this woman this week. And I'm led of the Spirit to go to that woman this week. And I'm going to pollinate. No, that doesn't work too well. I mean, I'd be seeing stars, amen? And I'm telling you, that is not God's plan. Right. The Holy Spirit done told you, I will build my church and the gates of hell. He tells you the church is made up of pastor and deacons. He tells you all about the church and what the church is supposed to be. And it will help you to bring up children. Hillary Clinton said it takes a village. Well, she was wrong about that, but... it takes a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that will help and strengthen the home. And we need that indeed and in truth. And all of these things will help. And that's why I would want the Christian school to be under the church, not just off on its own, because Christ said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're thinking about having a sports program. We want to have that under the church with men of God working with it. All of that helps, and a good parent will marshal those tools to help them to do things God's way. And so, listen, the husband is not to do it by himself. It says fathers, that doesn't mean don't have the help. And who would be the main helper, the number one counselor and helper in bringing up children? It would be your wife, right? It would be your wife. And so the Bible says that Rachel, when she had her son, Benjamin, her second son, she died. But what did she name her son? Because she was in childbirth and she was dying and she knew she was going through great pain. She said, I want to name him Benoni. And Benoni means son of my sorrow. And Jacob said, no, Rachel died, son of my right hand. Do you know why he said that? Why did he say, one of the men tell me, why did he call him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, rather than Benoni? All right, Brother Matthew.
He loved Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel was his wife, and she was his right hand, because he couldn't do what he did without Rachel, because she was his wife. She was his right hand. And you see, that is a key thing. In order to have a strong home, the husband needs to recognize the importance of his wife in raising children. That's why I told my wife, she was a school teacher and she had all these abilities and all this, but it would require her working away from her own children as we had children, because we didn't have a Christian school in the church then or anything like that. She'd have to be going across town and being involved. And I said, listen, I want you in the home. I need you. And by the way, I plan to have children right away. We get married, we're going to have kids. Because what does the Bible say? It says, I will that the young women marry, bear children, and be keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so I said, that's what we want to do. And she said, you know what? All of my gifts, all of my talents, they're best expressed as a wife and a mother. As a wife and a mother. And wanted parents that will have wives, that will have home-centered work, and mothers. You say, that's not very exciting. Well, it is if it's done right, especially during those childbearing and rearing years. That's where the focus needs to be. That's where we need to focus. And the devil is trying to distract that. And so we've got dysfunctional children, dysfunctional families. We've got a bunch of leftist crazy wackos that have reprobate minds that are being educated in these universities. And all this money's being wasted while kids are being trained not to develop marketable skills, but to become leftist, communist, radical evolutionists that are destroying this country. And thank God for President Trump and what he's trying to do. But listen, what we're talking about here is more foundational. And we need to get back to it. So wanted, that's what is wanted. That's what is needed today. Parents that will raise your children God's way. It means that parents are a unified team. Now, next time, I'm going to look at it means that parents are willing to use God's teeth in discipline. That's for next week. But we need to pray for and to yield our lives to be willing to do our part. Now, you may not be in that place where you can be that kind of a parent, but you can support it. You can encourage it. You can pray for it. And that's what I like about grandparenting. Grandparenting is not to do what I did as a parent. Grandparenting is to support the parent and to help the kid accept the discipline, the training of the parent. But the parent had better be doing it and not abandon it. So may God help us to do that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about wanted